greetings in Jesus' name. It is, I guess, extra precious when we love each other. I'm thankful what Robert shared and many things he encourages in, and especially, I think it's very true, we can very easily allow love to go away, and then it's something kind of like farming or growing things. If we don't put effort into it, we lose it. And order, if we don't put effort into order, we lose it. It's something that doesn't come naturally. Chaos somehow comes naturally or comes easily or whatever. And when we don't love each other, we find where love is thin, faults are thick. And it's too true. And where love is thick, I guess faults are thin. I'm not sure if they say that or not. But, and I thought of that verse when Robert was talking about it. Love covers a multitude of sins. I'm not sure how that works, but there's something miraculous about caring about each other, trusting each other, there's just something that goes together in the package that's just very precious. And all because of this great God we serve. If it were not for Him, then who would we serve? Who could we turn to? Who gave us the directions for this wonderful? I think what Jesus brought us eternity, worthy of eternity. And so when he spoke, he was bringing us words that would last into eternity, through eternity. And that's, to me, very precious. The old covenant was passing away. It wasn't sufficient. It wouldn't complete it, but when Jesus came, He completed that. And His words go into eternity. That's how strong they are. Yeah, today is a day that's a little different than some. The world does a lot of partying and a lot of idolatry and a lot of things we shouldn't get caught in. And it's but it's also early this morning, 13 years ago, my dad died. And it doesn't happen very often. It's on Christmas, on Sunday morning, that I can say that. And it's I don't really have much to say about that, but it's just we have seen death since too, and it's one of those things that are hard, and they are something we have to face. And and of course, if we follow Christ, He commands us that we have to die. That's one of the requirements. So I don't know how accurate this is, but if we actually have died to ourselves, what can death do to us after that? Who can threaten us? Who can break us down? Who can ruin us if we have died? That's what's so frustrating to governments. People that have died to themselves, they try to torture them, they try to take them away from their families, they try to, and they end up killing, and they cannot break them down because they are grounded in death to start with. How can you capture those people? But if, I would also like to say there's people, and I feel like the Martyrs Mirror has done a bad job in this of like saying, oh, those people that have recanted, they're not worthy to be in here. That is true. I agree with that. However, I wish they'd also have a book and say, this person has died. This man, this name here, he was unfaithful to his brothers. And he did this and this. I would like to have that as well. It is there. We just don't have it. And not much. I think the Martyrs book of Fox's Book of Martyrs has a little more of that in it. To me, I think it's kind of not complete. I think Jesus and the apostles, they just told who the people were that were bad or fell away. Judas would be the first one, maybe. Or maybe, yeah, he would have been professing to be with Christ. What was actually on my mind a few weeks ago, I was just thinking about believing. It's very important. I'm sure it's been talked about a lot, and so this is going to be my version of, a little bit of my version of what I've been thinking. If Adam had believed God, he would not have eaten that fruit. Well, it does say he wasn't deceived, so I guess he did believe maybe and ate it anyways. But Eve first ate it, and she was deceived, so she didn't believe God. Satan was able to distract her and get her to fall. Consequently, Adam fell too. I'm not sure how that all works out, but she ate first and then gave to him, and he ate as well. But it says she was deceived and he was not. The sin is much greater on sinning premeditated. It's actually, yeah, I'm not sure how much worse, but it has. And then I thought of Cain. He was another one of those that didn't believe God. God specifically came to him before he murdered his brother and warned him that this is a bad thing you're doing here, that you're going on a track that is not good. And he didn't believe him. He rejected God and went and did what he wanted to do. On the other hand, Abel was one of those that died, and he's one of those of faith. He was obedient to God. He believed God. And so these examples of the people before the flood, so from Adam to the time of the flood, they fell away so bad that there's only not two handful left anymore on this earth to serve God. But Noah, he believed God. When God speaks, it's eternal. It is the strongest thing on earth. It is, when he spoke, the whole world came into being. When he spoke, the animals came into being. When he spoke, he fashioned humans, but and then blew into our nostrils and gave us the life. It may be the same breath we took when we first breathed. Each one of us took that first breath. So I just thought of the importance of believing God. Just taking him at his word, just being able to humble ourselves to that degree that he's Lord, he's master, he's over us all. When he speaks, we can believe. We do not have to question. If we question, we'll end up like Eve and we'll be deceived. And we hear many messages, and we've been taught from our youth, most of us, in many different ways of, I'm not sure there'd be anybody here that said he didn't know that he could have done better. I think all of us would say we could have done better. We just kind of knew what was right and what was wrong. We knew we shouldn't hurt people. We knew we shouldn't lie. We knew we shouldn't steal. We know the feeling when we do wrong. I think God speaks to us in our hearts. He's everywhere. Yeah, and I went like Saul. He was one of those that didn't believe God. He was made king. He was supposed to be the kind of like leading out for Israel. He was supposed to be their king, and he was. After he was made king. I forget, some enemies came from somewhere, and he said, "Well, this can't be." And he somehow took a hold of that idea, and he rallied. He got people, and they went and fought those people. But I guess he somehow ended up with pride, and he thought he didn't have to listen to God anymore. And so God chose another one, and he was replaced by David. David was a man of faith. He somehow believed God. And there's always Abraham and Joseph would be more people that that believed God. It doesn't say that specifically about Joseph, but I think when I look at his life, I see a life of believing. He believed God. Maybe there's a specific word for that too. I'm not sure, but I know it says Abraham believed God, and I guess that is in Hebrews. But so I guess I'm just trying to encourage us to not question God, but when we make decisions based on human wisdom, we will fail. If we make it based on our own wisdom, we will fail. But when we base it on the wisdom of God, in the end we will win if we faint not. Jesus would often say, according to our faith or your faith, he would say, to be healed, or if you believe, this thing can be. I think Judas probably did not believe. It says that the leaders of the land that killed Jesus would not have done it had they known who he was. They did not accept who he was. I don't think they knew who he was because of those words. They did not accept him as their Savior. He was not the right kind of man. But had they actually known who he was, they would not have dared kill him, Son of God. Nobody would have killed him. That would be a very frightful thing. But I guess, according to what Robert just said, we put him up on the cross, we killed him. Hopefully also because we didn't know who he was. I think once we kill him after we know who he was, I'm not sure if there's any place for repentance. Just a few verses here in Luke 16, not 29, or yeah. This is just saying the rich man was. There's the rich man and Lazarus living together on this earth. one was a poor man. He was laying at the doors of the rich man, and the rich man would not even give him food. He would have desired to eat what the dogs got, but it sounds like maybe he didn't even get that. And the dogs, they were pitiful and licked his sores. This man died. This rich man died, as well as Lazarus. And he was like dealing with God. Surely you can tell my brothers. They were on the same track that he was. Surely just tell my brothers somehow that they would repent. And he thought, surely if somebody went from the dead, they would believe. But here's what he said. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. Or they will believe is another translation for that. I'm not sure which is most accurate, but either way, I think when we believe, we will repent. I believe they're connected. They will repent, he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. That's always been a hard scripture for me. I would just think if somebody I knew would stand up and say a certain thing, wouldn't we believe it? But according to these words, we wouldn't. We need to have faith in God Himself and Jesus Himself. He's the one that wrote these things. He's the one that gave this story, actually. Our Master, our Lord, gave us the story. We wouldn't have any way of knowing. I don't think, I'm not sure if this holds true or not, but it doesn't say that this was a parable. Sometimes Jesus said, this is a parable. He's making this story up. And this could also have been a parable, but it doesn't say that. So I guess it's just a warning for us to believe God. We want to be like Abel. We want to be like Noah. We want to be like Abraham. We want to be like David. We want to be like... We have to believe God. And this is as a reminder, not as though I don't think that y'all don't believe God, but it's. I feel like I need to be reminded we can safely trust God. We don't have to. We do not have to question Him. I guess we could say, well, how do we know what to do? But has He not said sufficiently? What about loving everybody here in such a way that we care and respect them? This is something we need to work for. It's not something that some of us probably have it more naturally and others have less, but I think that needs to be our goal. I believe that needs to be our goal. In another few verses here in Hebrews 11, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would approach Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And then He goes on, by faith, Noah, warned by God, he believed. There was no evidence of water. I think God told him maybe He's going to flood the earth. I'm not sure what He told him. But by what he built, he would have surely got the idea that there's going to be water. And so it's impossible for us to please God unless we believe that He exists and rewards those who seek Him. It's not a lot of our downcastness, our depressions from not believing Him and not believing that He will reward us, that He exists. He's going across the face of the earth seeking for someone whom he can make himself strong to? Do we believe these things? Do we believe he's here? Do we believe the Holy Spirit to be here? I feel like I need these encouragements. And I just really appreciated something I want to grow a lot in is learn how to express my appreciation for all of you. And I think it really comes out in our life, nevertheless, regardless of whether we speak or not. We can speak flowering words and they will not mean anything. We cannot speak much, and we can have a very helpful life for people, and we can care about people without many words. It doesn't always say how we say or don't say, but it for sure comes out in our daily walk, in our attitude toward each other. I believe we want. My encouragement would be, at least to myself, is I want to learn and be in complete unity with everyone here. That is what I would want. However, it's something that we don't just get handed to us, I believe, as well. It's something that we have to... If we want a good crop... There's just no way around it, but we have to do some things right, and we have to work for it. We can decide, well, I'm just going to put some seed into the grass. I'm going to poke a hole. I want some tomatoes, so I poke a hole in the grass, and I have a... I just put a seed in there, and sometimes we might get a little, but it's not a very prosperous way to do something, to grow something. It's better to have the soil aerated. It's better to have the soil with the right nutrients in it. And then when we put a seed in it, it really grows. But then we have enemies. There's the bugs. There's lack of water, there is I can't think of the word anymore. The diseases that go through them, and it's something we have to strive for. And I think it's the same thing. If we have heavenly things, if Jesus tells us things to do, that we have to strive for that. It just doesn't get handed to us. If there's a way that it can just be handed to me, I would gladly want to hear about that. I know God does miracles in some people like that have been addicted to like hard drugs. They can actually be miraculously healed from those. Like, they do not desire them anymore. I've talked to more than one person that way. And it's still the danger of falling back. The first man I know of that I remember saying that is, seems like he's fallen away from the faith. It is not a guarantee that we're safe. Not yet. We die faithfully. We endure to the end. That is when we're safe. And we clinch our lives in death. We die first, and then we die, this natural body dies. And it's clinched at that time what we're going to be. God, everything stops, the way I understand. And so we need to prepare for that continually. We need to believe God. I don't have much more to add to that. Let's stand for prayer. Our Lord God in heaven, we thank you for each one here. We thank you for all the brothers everywhere. It is so precious to us to be able to care about each other and to love each other. We need you to help us accomplish this. We know you set a perfect example of it, and we endeavor to walk behind you and in your tracks. We look to you for that help. We look to each other for encouragement, and we ask you to help us break out of all sins we're in, all bondages we have in our lives, all misconceptions, and help us to believe in you and your words. Prepare us for eternity and protect us from deception while we're here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel free to correct and make comments.
Thank you, Brother Walter. Very edifying. And I may be wrong in this comment, but on the rich man and Lazarus, parable of the true, I agree with you. But when you quoted Jesus, he said, even if someone rose from the dead, they wouldn't believe. And then, you know, my first thought was, Brother Darren wants to be called Thomas. You know, Thomas, the apostle, unless I put my hands in his side. And Thomas, the beloved Thomas, he wouldn't believe that he rose from the dead. He had to, I mean, that's amazing. The patience of God with us all, because the first time we hear, we don't believe. But even Thomas, one of his chosen, and you know, you like that name Thomas, you could have had Daniel or Shadrach and Meshach, but Thomas, he was so insistent, unless I touch him, the Lord be magnified. Thank you, Walter.
Brother Walter, yeah, thank you for that. I just thought I would mention, I thought you had said that you weren't sure, you didn't know if God had mentioned to Noah about the flood of water. I had to go back and look at the text here, Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. God told Noah that he was going to bring a flood of water on the earth. I just thought I'd mention that. I just remembered, I had another thought too. That I agree with you. I mean, when you said, I want to be unified with all of you here, right? But I guess the question that popped in my mind was, okay, what does that look like? Do we think it's possible with everybody that has autonomous thinking, self-government, that we could all agree on everything? Is that possible, do you think? I don't think so. So I don't think being unified is necessarily agreeing and everything. It's just kind of like what you were preaching, is that, you know, we love one another in peace and patient with one another. Would you agree, or what when you say you want to be unified with it, how would you unpack that? What would that look like? What would you think? Or even other brothers, what their thoughts are?